Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 2 and verses 1 to 20. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, as we celebrate this wonderful event, this event that of course is wrapped up in the redemption that is ours in the Lord Jesus Christ. It was for that he came. And so that's why we cannot separate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, from the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was to show the love of God towards us. The love of God that led the Lord Jesus Christ to take on human flesh, to take on human nature, and to come and dwell in our midst, and to carry out that ministry that was given to him. But of course, all of that was not done without opposition. And even as we see that opposition in the form in our own day and age, that while on the one hand we want to celebrate, there is just as much effort on the part of others to quench that, to silence that, to really, as it were, to get rid of all the religious aspects of this season, which is kind of foolish when you think about it, then don't celebrate Christmas at all. But to try and hijack it and give different reasons why people ought to get together and celebrate and, of course, buy presents is foolishness. But that's what the world does. And it cannot get rid of it. And so God has so impressed upon the world, as we've already noted, right from the beginning of time to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, God has, as it were, gone to great lengths to make sure that people hear about it and understand it. And so those promises that we have traced, and there's many more, of course, that we didn't have time to look at, all lead us to the Lord Jesus Christ, all lead us to this event, which of course marks the beginning, as it were, of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, in terms of his coming, of course, not his ministry, official ministry, of course, when he was baptized. And so this event is very significant for the whole human race, because it is so important with respect to our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is an event that we celebrate. We give gifts, but we give gifts for a reason. There was another event in the scriptures, of course, where it's said that they gave gifts to each other. And that was in the book of Esther. You remember when they were delivered and they weren't destroyed? They celebrated those days, but the way that they celebrated, one aspect of it was that they gave gifts to one another. So there's nothing wrong in giving gifts, as long as we understand why it is that we give gifts. And it's not the way that the world puts it, of course, right? Whether you've been naughty or nice. No. The gifts are given because we're so happy. Right? We're so happy because we have received from God the unspeakable gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we have received from him salvation through his Son. And so we're so blessed that we want to share that joy with others. And so we give our children and friends presents, or we send cards. It's not because they're so wonderful. That's not why we give gifts. No. We give gifts because we're so happy. Because God has so blessed us. And so when your children receive presents, maybe you've received them already, I don't know. But if you have, then understand where they're coming from. They're coming from parents that are so happy with what God has given to them, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is just a token of our joy and celebration that we give you gifts, that you also then may enter into that joy with us. And so our passage this morning shows how important it is to God to make sure that everyone understands these events. That everyone understands how these events happen, why these events happen, who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Because God obviously already knew that the devil and the world with him will try and obscure this evidence. They will try and minimize these things. And of course, that is just as powerful today as it was any other time. And so with all of that opposition, God has given us ample evidence that will withstand all kinds of criticism, all kinds of doubting, all kinds of arguments that people might bring. And so this passage, first of all, of course, gives us the historical evidence that these events actually happen. I mean, it's sad that we even have to say that. But that's how unbelief is. It will question anything and everything. And so the first thing for us to understand is that these events actually happened. And so Matthew records for us that it came to pass in those days that a decree went out I mean, that's not something we can fabricate. That's not something that a few, few Christians or few believers could manufacture and then go out and write it for everyone to hear. Oh, in these days, Caesar Augustus had a decree that the whole world should be counted, have a census. How could they do that? They couldn't do that. We can check historically that that happened. And so you see, this is not something that happened in a cave. This is not something that some one individual or group of individuals came up with. No, no, no. And that's just talking about the actual day. The actual day surrounding the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we've said, there's many other testimonies and evidence right from the beginning of time. No, no, no. It was in the days of Augustus, Caesar Augustus, that he decided that the whole world, the Roman world, of course, which basically was the whole world, was to be registered. And not only that, but Quirinius was governing in Syria. And so his confirmation, outside confirmation, historical confirmation of what the Bible is saying. The Bible is not just making up stuff. It's not just writing stuff that has no correspondence with history itself. It does. That's comforting for us as believers, isn't it? To those that hear the opposition of the world all the time. And perhaps doubt start creeping in. It's a comfort to us. But to those that don't believe, it's a challenge. It's a challenge because all the things that you hear are true, confirmed. And so you have to take responsibility for the things that you hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only about when he was born and how he was born, but of course, why he was born. And Mary and Joseph then, in accordance with that decree, had to make that journey from Nazareth, where they were living, down to Judea, to Bethlehem, because that's where Joseph was from. He was from the line of David, which of course fits in wonderfully with the fact that Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem. He was to be from the line of David, which the Old Testament said many hundreds of years ago. Again, confirmation. Again, something that you just can't fabricate those things. And so they made this journey, and which normally they would not make, would they? I mean, it does happen. People move when they're expecting. We've done it twice. Wasn't appreciated. But we did do it twice when she was 8 months pregnant. But normally people don't do that, right? They stay put until the birth. But not in this case. In this case, Mary and Joseph made that journey to Bethlehem. And when they came there wasn't room. And so they had to, as you know, the innkeeper was kind enough to provide them room. But of course it wasn't a luxury room. And while they were there, so it must have been very close to the birth, she gave birth. So again, it wasn't done in a corner. There were other people that knew. The innkeeper knew that this man and his wife came and they were with child and they actually gave birth. I mean, public record. But again, how wonderfully it fits. As I said, normally people wouldn't move. But Micah, the Old Testament says in Micah 5:2 that he would be born in Bethlehem. See, these are not just happenstance. God ordered all of these things, and what promises and signs he gave were fulfilled in the New Testament in the days that the Lord Jesus Christ was born. So they did make that journey to Bethlehem, and while they were there, Mary did give birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was in absolute agreement with what God had revealed in the Old Testament. But not only that, not only that he was born in Bethlehem, but he was registered. In other words, they had to officially write it down because the census was taking place. And so, yes, here's Mary, here's Joseph, her husband, and Jesus, their son. And so all the promises, all the promises of the Old Testament are fulfilled. All the promises God made to David in 2 Samuel 7, about Isaiah 11 that we also read, about that he would be a shoot from the stem of Jesse, which of course was David's father. Everything is according to God's word. And again, as I said, how wonderful for us, so that we might be certain that our faith is not built on some imagination or the imagination of other people. Or that our faith isn't built on the fact that our parents believe these things or our church believes these things. No, no. All these things are facts, historical facts. That given the access, we could check all of these out. I mean, some may be lost due to history, but they existed at one time. For Matthew to write these things, maybe after, I don't know, 20, 30 years after the death of Christ, people were still alive that knew these things. The official records were still there. And so these truths, again, are a wonderful blessing to believers, but they are a chilling challenge to unbelievers to reject these things, to see them as insignificant, to set them aside. We have some explaining to do to God, don't we, then? Wasn't enough evidence? I didn't make it clear enough? No, no, no. God made it clear enough for all the world to see. And it was recognized. I mean, here was a city that was full. People had traveled from all over that were to be registered there. The inn was full. It wasn't just two rooms out and here Joseph and Mary. No, no, no. The inn was full to capacity. You think it would have gone unnoticed? Oh, they're so full, and the couples came, and they had a baby in a manger. You think that would have gone unnoticed? I don't think so. So there are many, many other witnesses besides that are not recorded in the scriptures that all on that day of judgment will rise up and give their testimony. And it will be abundantly clear that there was no lack of it. It was clear. But not only do we have this historical testimony, evidence, but we have heavenly evidence. Because in that same area around Bethlehem, there were some shepherds going about their job, taking care of sheep. And it was night. And suddenly, the whole hillside was drenched in light. I don't know about you, but it would certainly capture my attention. I mean, nowadays people would think it was aliens or something. But I mean, it was just flooded with light. And they were just shocked. They were scared. And so what happens is an angel stands before them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. They, as I said, they were greatly afraid. And then the angel spoke. "Do not be afraid," they said, "for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. So here's this light. Here's this angel. The angel speaks to them audibly so that they can hear what the angel is saying. There's a number of them, so it's not just one, right? We could always say one was kind of crazy or whatever. But there was a number of them, and they all heard it. It wasn't that one heard it, he told the others. No, they all heard it independently. That something wonderful had happened. And it was from an angel. As Peter says in his epistle, look, these things that we write are not made up. Scripture is not the product of men in terms of their imagination. No, these things have come to us from God Himself. And so here we have an angel that reveals to them the purposes of God and interprets these events. So these events are not interpreted by us. We could be wrong. I mean, there are many people wrong that interpret certain things in the way that they see them. And it's just made up. Many of the religions of the world are like that. They're wrong. But this is not human interpretation. This is divine interpretation. The angel, you remember, is the angel of the Lord. He is sent from God Himself. And He delivers to them this message that the Lord Jesus Christ was born and was important for the entire world. For He is the one that would be the Savior who is Christ the Lord. Again, these shepherds probably were familiar, of course, with the Old Testament. They were Jews. They were familiar with the Messiah. And so they're hearing this wonderful news that the Messiah has been born. I mean, which is kind of a shock, right? You'd think that Messiah would come as a leader, a grown-up man to lead the people. But no, He's been born. He's taken upon Himself our flesh and blood. And again, lest we take this message and restrict it to the Jews or to a certain class of people, the Scriptures won't allow us to do that. Because the angel makes that very clear, that He's bringing good news of great joy, which will be to all people, not just to one. And as verse 14 puts it, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Not of one race. And of course, John chapter 3:16, for God so loved the world. Not just one nation. So though the nations of the world may make this argument, this is your religion, and you have it, and we have our own, and even though our country may impress that upon us to silence us and to say, well, this is okay for you, but do it personally and privately because there are other people that have other religions. No, God's message was not sent just to us. It was sent to all the nations of the world because all the nations of the world are His people. Namely, that He's made them, He's created them. And so we can't restrict this message. We can't just keep it to ourselves. And we can't just, for the sake of respecting other people's religions. I mean, we don't have to be obnoxious about their religions. Of course not. But we do have to make clear that this is the Savior of the world. And that only by believing in Him do they have eternal life. Because that's what the angel says. A Savior is born. In other words, our salvation is tied up with him. Our relationship with God is tied up with him. There is no other way. There is no other Savior that has been sent. So that's important for you to know. That God has sent you a gift of a Savior. And it's only through him that you can have a peaceful relationship with God. Apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, you will remain an enemy of God. You will remain under his wrath, under his judgment. You will remain in that doom and gloom. You will remain with that burden on you that you can never lift. And it will crush you through our eternity. But God has shown mercy. He's given you his Son. And with all the testimonies so that you would have your attention focused upon him, you have no excuse. And the shepherds, on top of that, are given a confirming sign. I mean, can you imagine that this light and this angel, do you think they need any more confirmation? But yet God gives them another confirmation. You're going to find, if you go to Bethlehem, you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger. Because you know, if the angel went away, it doesn't take much for five or six people to say, what happened? And to come up with all kinds of excuses about what happened, except the true one. And so the angel gives to them a sign that will confirm what they've just heard. And so off they go, of course, to Bethlehem, to that inn, and they find it exactly as the angel said. It's true to reality. It's true to history. And everything that the angel said, they saw with their very own eyes. They weren't beside themselves. They weren't mad. They didn't have some problem with their brain. They weren't gullible. No, they heard this message from God, and God gave them a sign so that they could go and see it for themselves. And so they were firm in their understanding of what was happening. And of course, along with that, they have all of these other angels come. And they declare this wonderful truth as they're praising God, glorifying God for the message that's just been delivered. They're so happy about it. Which in a sense is an indictment on us, isn't it? The angels are celebrating. They're so overjoyed. They're wiser than any of us, and yet they are so filled with joy about these events. And yet he is not their Savior. I mean, he's their Lord, yes. He's the one that preserved them so that they didn't fall. But he didn't die for them on the cross. And yet they're celebrating. In fact, they celebrate whenever a sinner comes to faith. There's great rejoicing in heaven. But where is the rejoicing here? Where is the rejoicing in your heart? What will we say to God after all he's done, such that even the angels are just overwhelmed? What will you say to him? Not enough evidence? Not important enough? And so what do we find? We find a response to these things. The response, of course, of the shepherds is to go to that place. And they come and they saw the Lord Jesus Christ as they had heard. And when they do come, they made known these things that they'd heard. And they glorified God. And they praised God for these things that had happened. And no doubt, like the shepherds, they worshipped the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the response that each and every one of us should have. And those that do believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, of course, we need to celebrate because our faith is so solid. Nothing can shake our faith. No discovery by historians is ever going to shake that foundation. No discovery by science is ever going to shake this foundation. It's rooted, I'm telling you, in history. It's on a rock that will never move. Absolutely nothing. So our faith is solid as a rock. Our anchor is never going to move. And no matter what happens and circumstances and things in this world, no matter what opposition comes from this world, and believe me, it will increase, is ever going to shake the solid rock upon which our lives are based. It's not just on man's thoughts, man's words, man's power of persuasion to get people to follow them. No, 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 no. It's based on the acts of God Himself, rooted in history. And so we need to be confident. We need to celebrate. But for those that are not there yet, for those that don't believe yet, let me leave you with this. Imagine that you were there at any one of these things that we've looked at over the last number of weeks. Any one of these events, whether you were with Mary when the angel came to her, whether you were with Joseph, or whether you were with Zechariah, or whether you were back in the days of Isaiah, or Genesis, with Adam and Eve, when God gave that promise to them. Or any of these things, or with the shepherds, or with the wise men, or with the innkeeper, wherever you were, right? Any one of those things, that's all I want you to look at, just one of those things. You were there with them. What impact would it have? I mean, if you were there with the shepherds, and you heard the angel, you saw the light. You saw the heavenly host praising God. You went with them to Bethlehem. And you saw with your own eyes Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger, just as the angel had said. Would you not believe? And if you didn't believe, what would the reason be? Wouldn't it just simply be unbelief? It's not the matter that there's no evidence. There's all the evidence in the world, established in history. No, it's just unbelief, you see. That's what it is. And so when you stand before God, you will never be able to argue with Him and say, there wasn't enough evidence. And neither will you be able to say, oh, I was born 2,000 years after that. Oh, really? God will say, you had all the evidence. You had all the evidence. Some people only had bits. Adam and Eve only had that promise. Isaiah only had promises that would happen later on, 600-700 years down the road. Some people had a little bit of it. But you have it all written out that nobody can contradict. So you see, it's not a matter of lack of evidence. It's a matter of unbelief. There were many people that showed unbelief that we read a little bit about. Herod, the chief priest. But what you need to think about is, what are you going to say to God? What will you say when you stand before Him? You don't want to be in that position, believe me. You don't want to be there, because your mouth will be shut and you will be filled with eternal shame, because you did not, with all the evidence that God gave, you refused to recognize the Lord of glory. You refused to recognize the only Savior that God gave to you at such a cost. People of God, we can't afford to miss this wonderful message and ignore this wonderful Savior. We need, you need, in your own heart, to come to Him, in your mind, to go to that stable, to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ, to thank God for a Savior that He's given to you, and to love Him and to serve Him all the days of your life. Just as the shepherds did, they went away praising and glorifying God. People of God, that's what we need to do in our everyday life, and especially today. Give Him the praise and the glory. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do indeed thank You from the bottom of our hearts. Indeed, our mouths are stopped. We're just so overwhelmed by what You have done for us in Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are so thankful to Him that He was willing to come. And our Father, we know all that He did, how He lived, how He suffered, how He laid down His life for us. And our Father, we are just overwhelmed. But our Father, we are even more shocked by the unbelief. By the unbelief that we see around us, in our friends, in our families, in our relatives. And our Father in heaven, we are just amazed at the stubbornness, the refusal to believe that which is so clear. But our Father, we do also understand, because we know rebellious hearts, because our hearts were like that too. Until You, by Your Holy Spirit, opened our minds and bent our wills. And so, our Father, we pray that You would do so for our families, our friends, our relatives, that their eyes may be opened, that they would not only recognize but receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Our Father in heaven, we pray that You would indeed bless Your people. Lord, may they go forth from this place rejoicing and glorifying You, and may all those that hear them be amazed and also hear this good news. Our Father, we ask that You would hear our prayers, that You would bless us, for we pray these things in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.